Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, happy Monday, and welcome everybody to the Monday edition of the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast. My name is Jeff Greider. I am the editor-in-chief of NowTheEndBegins.com, and today we're talking about 2020 is the year of the Great Reset, Dominion voting fraud, hammer and scorecard, releasing the Kraken, and the Fourth Industrial Revolution. The amount of end times things that are happening right now at this moment on this day today is not merely astounding, it is literally mind-numbing when you consider that all of the rockets now being fired by the New World Order globalists like Klaus Schwab of the World Economic Forum with the Fourth Industrial Revolution, Prime Minister Pierre Trudeau in Canada and the United Nations with the Great Reset, and the brazen attempt that's currently underway in the United States to steal this election. Build back better. Where have I heard that before? You've heard that from the United Nations. You've heard that from the European Union. What is Build Back Better doing as Joe Biden's campaign slogan platform? Well, we're going to tell you that today. We're going to tell you more than that. There's so much happening that there's no need to dig deep into end times events today to see if we can find something interesting to tell you, because the fruit is literally falling off the trees and breaking the boughs in the process. There's so much stuff going on right now. Of course, you wouldn't know that if you're still watching fake news outlets like Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, and spending your time in liberal trash can websites like the Drudge Report. These people will not tell you the truth one time out of 100, but we will. There is so much happening today on every level that this may just be one of those landmark shows you'll look back on and say, yeah, that's when it all changed. That right there was the turning point. Today is that day, and we're glad that you're here. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask for his blessing on today's program. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for all these that you've assembled today, Father God. We thank you for the thousands and thousands of people who listen to these podcasts and Bible studies across America and around the world. And we're so grateful for the expanded reach that you've given us. And we just pray, Father God, that you would allow each and every one of us to get something done for you before Flight 777 on Titus 213 airline takes off. So, Father God, we ask you to meet with us and lead us and guide us. And, Lord, this isn't technically a Bible study. This is a podcast of current events. But you get us back to your word wherever and whenever you choose to do so, Lord. We don't care if nobody wants to read your book, because we want it. We don't care if nobody else, Lord, wants to meet with you, because we want to meet with you. And we're here, and we ask you, Lord, to meet with us today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, welcome, everybody. We have, if you're on Twitter, the amount of stuff that is firing off all day today, I almost don't even know where to start. A lot of the times when I do these programs, there's hours and hours of preparation because I have to look in all these different places and find, end times appropriate things to talk about. And sometimes it's a lot of work to pull up enough information that I can talk nonstop for the next 90 minutes. If you think that's easy to do, well, you try it sometime. I'll let you get behind the microphone, and for 90 solid minutes, it's just nothing but you talking. It's hard to do. Believe me when I tell you, it's not easy. But it's even twice as hard when you have to go digging for stuff. And today is not one of those days. Today is one of those days where the stuff, you open your front door and it's all just piled on your porch like Christmas presents delivered by Amazon. So let's start with a clip that we played back in June for you. This is a clip from a website called The Activist Post, and the man's name is Spiro. And if you follow him on Twitter, you know he's not a Christian from what I can tell. I mean, I actually don't know what his faith is or if he has faith. I honestly don't know. But in terms of having a handle on end times events, he's really plugged in. So let's just listen to a minute or two of this clip that we played back in June on the Great Reset of the New World Order.
Inside our own heads is the most complex arrangement of matter in the known universe.
You might ask yourself, can we get to be superhumans?
And just in case you were wondering about the spooky music in the background and the weird things that these people are saying, this is not taken from an end times movie. This is taken from a video that was produced from the World Economic Forum. This is their side. This is how they see it. They added the spooky music, but it's not a movie.
The original Industrial Revolution was driven by the discovery that you could use steam engines to do all kinds of interesting things.
But that was followed by additional revolutions for electricity and computers and communications technology. We're now in the early stages of the fourth Industrial Revolution, which is bringing together digital, physical, and biological systems.
So we'll just stop that video right there. You heard the phrase, the fourth industrial revolution. And what this is referring to, we all know, if you remember in your classes, went back when you were in high school and they taught you about the cotton gin and the steam engine and the great industrial revolution. And then you see how it started in America and it went around the world, and all the next 200 years of technology and advancement. Well, that gets us all the way to the end of the 20th century, where you have the internet and personal computers, and you have a Mark of the Beast system, not the Mark of the Beast, but the internet, something that I have always said was the Mark of the Beast system. It's the platform upon which the Mark of the Beast will operate, because the internet is the one thing that connects everybody. Everybody doesn't have a telephone. Everybody doesn't have everything. But what every country does have is access to the internet. And the very, very few places where there is no access, people like Mark Zuckerberg and Elon Musk, they are spending their own money to provide free access, free Wi-Fi service. And these New World Order globalists are actually funding the creation of a worldwide internet network for everybody, wherever you live on the face of the earth. So the internet, and I said this 25 years ago when I first got on the internet is absolutely the platform for the Mark of the Beast. There is no question about it. How do I do most of my buying? I do it on the internet. A couple of months ago, I had to buy some new plastic panels for my Jeep. And so I went down to the Jeep dealership and I got my new plastic panels, because the old ones had gotten, you know, kind of beat up and they were leaking and one of them was broken. So I had to replace the plastic panels. But if you had an old junker Jeep, they would have been pretty good. So what did I do? I went on the internet. I went to Facebook. I went to the Facebook marketplace and I advertised that I had these panels that, if they were in good shape, would sell for about $500 or $600. I sold them for $100 and I sold them almost immediately. Where do most people do their buying and selling? They do it online. Amazon's one of the largest companies on the face of the earth, much larger now than Walmart or Kmart or any of those companies combined. Amazon is so big that they're putting thousands and thousands of other smaller businesses out of business. Buying and selling is the main feature of the internet. And as such, it's going to be the platform for not only the Mark of the Beast, but it is the platform for what they call the Fourth Industrial Revolution. And as I told you just a few minutes ago, this clip that I'm playing for you is taken from a video that was created not by end times people, not by people who are into conspiracy theory. It's a video that was created by the World Economic Forum because they are the ones who are pushing and calling for the Fourth Industrial Revolution. But this revolution is a revolution of your mind. This revolution, the Fourth Industrial Revolution, is going to go inside your brain. Why do you think that there is so much talk about virtual reality and augmented reality and all these companies that make these goggles and glasses that you put on your face? And that's what, you know, that's the new theater, that's the new video games, and it's this immersive reality, and it's fake and it's phony, but it's real at the same time. If you remember a movie called, what was it called? Apocalypse 2 from 1999. And it talked about the Day of Wonders. And do you remember the Day of Wonders? They had the Mark of the Beast was administered through virtual reality. Back in 1999, nobody really paid much attention to that stuff, and that movie came and went, and it was just kind of swept under the rug as another, you know, semi-cheesy Christian end times movie. But then you get into the 2000s, and then you get into 2020, and what do you have? You have Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook using virtual reality to create digital zombies. All this is part of the Fourth Industrial Revolution. All this is part of what they call the Great Reset. Take a look at this picture. And if you're not in the chat room, you can go to nowtheendbegins.com and you just do a search for Facebook. And this will be about the fifth or sixth article that will pop up in our fancy new search feature. But take a look at this image of Mark Zuckerberg holding this meeting where he was rolling out his Oculus virtual reality headset. And look at every single person in the room. They have that headset on their face. They don't even know that Mark Zuckerberg is walking past them. If that's not ironic, I don't know what is. But this is, when you hear these terms, the Great Reset, the Fourth Industrial Revolution, yes, it has to do with economics. It's being brought to you by the World Economic Forum, by the World Economic Council. But in their own words, they are telling you, Estevic just said, that is an awful image. Zuckerberg seems very pleased. He is very pleased because he's getting his way. And Mark Zuckerberg and Elon Musk with his fancy Tesla and his SpaceX rocket and all these other things, these people are creating the Mark of the Beast system. And this is where we are. So things have gotten so advanced on the timeline that you have the World Economic Council telling you that these things are coming. Take a listen to these two clips. They're very short. It's from Klaus Schwab, and he is the president of the World Economic Forum. And the World Economic Forum is a very powerful organization, and they drive all sorts of things related to global banks, global banking, world finance, world economy. This guy, Klaus Schwab, is as well-positioned a person as you could possibly expect to have talking about these things. And listen to what Klaus Schwab has to say about the Great Reset.
So people assume we are just going back to the good old world, which we had, and everything will be normal again in how we are used to normal, in the old fashioned. This is, let's say, fiction. It will not happen. cut, which we have now, is much too strong in order not to leave traces.
So that was Klaus Schwab of the World Economic Forum talking about the new world that COVID has created. And you heard him tell you, we are not going back to the way it was. And he has no uncertainty in his voice of any kind. He is 1,000% positive that we are not going back to the way it was. How is he so positive? Well, he's so positive because he is part of the team that is bringing about the New World Order through the Great Reset and through the Fourth Industrial Revolution. Do you remember when David Rockefeller said this? David Rockefeller said, "We are grateful to the Washington Post, the New York Times, Times Magazine, and other great publications whose directors have attended our meetings," talking about the Bilderberg meetings, "and respected their promises of discretion for almost 40 years. It would have been impossible for us to develop our plan for the world if we had been subjected to the lights of publicity during those years, but the world is more sophisticated and prepared to march towards world government. The supranational sovereignty and intellectual elite and world bankers, World Economic Forum, is surely preferable to the national autodetermination practiced in past centuries." David Rockefeller said that over 30 years ago. And what was he doing? He was thanking the fake news media of his day, and they have always been fake news media, all the way back to the early part of the 20th century, the end of the 19th century, when William Randolph Hearst famously said, "You get me the pictures and I'll make the war." And that's where, if you studied in high school, they called it yellow journalism. Well, it's always been yellow journalism. It's always been fake news. And did you notice the people that David Rockefeller was thanking for keeping their mouths shut about this global plan to bring in world government? He said, "We are grateful to the Washington Post." This is 40 years ago. "We are grateful to the Washington Post. We are grateful to the New York Times, Time Magazine, and other great publications who have kept their mouths shut and not reported the truth so that we could form everything that needed to be put in place for world government." And then David Rockefeller said this: "Some people even believe that we are part of a secret cabal, working against the best interests of the United States. They characterize my family and me, the Rockefeller family, as internationalists and of conspiring with others around the world to build a more integrated global political and economic structure. One world, if you will." And then Rockefeller said, "If that's the charge, I stand guilty and am proud of it." This is David Rockefeller. These are people who were part of creating the country that we now live in. And the work that these people did after World War II, and we have told you about most of it, the work that these people have done since World War II has been unbelievable, and it's been unrelenting. And now, all those many, 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 many decades of work are finally coming to a head, and everything is ready. And 2020 is the year that they have decided that this plan that they've had in place for the past 7 or 8 decades is now ready, and now they are pulling the trigger, and 2020 is the year where all these things are coming to pass. I want you to listen to this next clip by the same guy, Klaus Schwab. And again, he is the president. He is the head of the World Economic Forum. Listen to what he says about the Fourth Industrial Revolution, which is also the title of his book. Take a listen. Klaus Schwab.
It's at the end, what the Fourth Industrial Revolution will lead to is a fusion of our physical, our digital, and our biological identities.
Did you hear that? Klaus Schwab is telling you that the Fourth Industrial Revolution is a fusion of all the different identities that you possess, including your biological identity. Do you remember all those articles that we did in the early part of this year? And we told you about a company called the ID 2020 Alliance. And what are these people doing? They are creating a human implantable digital biological identity for every single person on the face of the earth. This is going to be combined with the COVID vaccine. Maybe not the first or second vaccine, but once that system gets up and running, they are absolutely guaranteed. You can take it to the bank. They are going to combine an implantable digital identification with a COVID vaccine. That's a guarantee.
When I wrote the book, I started to write it four years ago. It was published 3 years ago. It was sold, very interesting, over a million times in the world. And what is interesting is that 800,000 copies, more than 800,000 copies of those 2 million were sold in three countries alone, China, Japan, and South Korea. And you may be interested, who was the biggest buyer with 16,000 copies at the same time? It was the Korean military. Because the Fourth Industrial Revolution will have a major impact also on warfare.
So that was Klaus Schwab telling you that the book that he wrote, the title of which is called The Fourth Industrial Revolution, the largest purchaser of that book was the nation of North Korea, because they were fascinated about the military implications of the Fourth Industrial Revolution. Do you see where all this is going? We've only been into this program for 23 minutes, and I've already told you that the head of the World Economic Forum, which is one of the world's most powerful forums having to do with policy and opinion that creates changes in world banking, global banking systems, and economics, right? Rothschild said that he didn't care who made the laws of any nation. He said, you let me control the banks and I'll control the world. That's what Rothschild said. And those people have been doing this ever since. And this is what's happening right here, right now, in America, around the world, in November of 2020. And the globalists are freaking out because they see that Donald Trump is not accepting the results of this phony election. And it is obvious that vote stealing has gone on to a very, very high degree. And in just a little bit, I'm going to play a clip from Sidney Powell from her interview the other day, where she is promising that she has the information that will absolutely change the outcome of the election. Now, I can remember there was a woman, I can't remember her name, but she was writing a book on the assassination of John F. Kennedy, and she was about to reveal how phony that whole thing was, and Lee Harvey Oswald was used as a puppet, and she was just getting ready to publish her findings, and they found her dead the next morning. I forget her name. Maybe one of you in the chat room can Google that. But she was a female author back in the 1960s, and she said that she had some absolutely game-changing information about who killed Kennedy and why Lee Harvey Oswald was assassinated as well. And before she could release that information, what happened? They found her dead in her apartment. Do you remember a man by the name of Andrew Breitbart? And Andrew Breitbart from BreitbartNews.com, do you remember the day that he said that he had this absolutely game-changing video of Barack Obama that was going to connect him to the Communist Party, and he was going to release it on such and such a day, and he died mysteriously of a heart attack while walking home from his favorite pub after having one glass of red wine? Do you remember Seth Rich? Seth Rich was going to expose all of the corruption in the DNC, and he had proof and he had information, and he was robbed, quote-unquote robbed. They didn't take his fancy watch. They didn't take his credit cards. His wallet was left in his pocket filled with cash, and he was forever silenced. Dorothy Kilgallen, that's exactly right. Lorianne has that. Thank you very much. Look up how she died sometime, and it will blow you away. So I get a little nervous for people like Sidney Powell, who says that she has absolute, definitive, empirical evidence that will change the course of the election. If she does, if she's not just talking, it is highly likely she will die some sort of wacky, mysterious death before she ever gets to release that information. Jay Kitty is saying that Andrew Breitbart had an interview with David Rockefeller just before he died. And this is what happens when you have that real inside information. Most of the time, you wind up dead. Not that I'm recommending that you watch anything on Netflix, because I'm not. But a number of years ago, somebody told me, if you want to see how our government really operates, you need to watch this show called Scandal. And I don't recommend, I'm not recommending that you watch it. It's a very secular show, and it's rough. It's a rough show to watch. It really is. But after I saw the first couple of episodes, it absolutely, yes, that is how our government operates. That is how the deep state operates with B613 and all these secret groups. That's exactly how it happens. So if Sidney Powell actually has some information, she's not going to make it. But I'm going to play her clip in just a minute. But before we get to Sidney Powell, who says that she has information and she's going to release the Kraken, she said, I want to play this clip from Canadian Prime Minister Pierre Trudeau. And I think it was just yesterday or Saturday or Friday. It's a very recent clip, and it's only 29 seconds, so I'll play it slow, but you got to listen fast. Pierre Trudeau, Prime Minister of Canada, and listen to what he said just the other day.
Building back better means getting support to the most vulnerable while maintaining our momentum on reaching the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development and the SDGs. Canada is here to listen and to help. This pandemic has provided an opportunity for a reset. This is our chance to accelerate our pre-pandemic efforts to reimagine economic systems that actually address global challenges like extreme poverty, inequality, and climate change.
Well, there you go. That's the Prime Minister of Canada, globalist, ultra-far-left liberal Pierre Trudeau. And that's not Pierre. That was his father. What is his name? Anyway, I'm all mixed up today. There's so much to talk about. Anyway, that was the Prime Minister of Canada. And the first three words out of his mouth was, build back better. Why is the Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau, why is the Prime Minister of Canada this weekend telling you about Joe Biden's 2020 campaign slogan. Why? Because Joe Biden's 2020 campaign slogan of Build Back Better did not come from anyone on the Joe Biden campaign team. It did not come from the rapidly deteriorating mind of Joe Biden. No, they didn't plagiarize it, surprisingly. They didn't steal it from anybody. They were told to use it by the New World Order. Why? Because Build Back Better is a pet project of the United Nations and the Great Reset. And if you look at that graphic that I put into the chat room, you see that countries all across the European Union are using it. Countries all across the Middle East are using it. Every outlet of the United Nations is using Build Back Better. And in fact, Joe Biden and his campaign was some of the last people to adopt this new platform. And so what is Joe Biden telling you? What is he telling you when he says that he's going to build back better? He's telling you that he is on the team of the New World Order globalists who are going to use the Great Reset and the Fourth Industrial Revolution to radically change the way that everyone works. And the one thing that stands in the way of having this implemented in America, in Europe, in the Middle East, in South America, in Asia, wherever you go, there is one thing standing, one last thing standing in the way of rolling this out worldwide. Because Donald Trump and America under Donald Trump withdrew from all these globalist treaties and groups and organizations. And they said that they were not going to stand with those people. And Trump, over the last 4 years, what did he do? He took America out of the Paris Climate Accord. He took America out of the phony Iranian nuclear treaty that was created by Obama and Biden. And Trump, over the last 4 years, has consistently taken America out of the globalist New World Order system. Now, you can say what you want about Trump. And yes, he was a Democrat before he was a Republican. He used to be in favor of abortion before he was against it. I get all that. But none of that matters. The only thing that I'm concerned about with Donald Trump is what has he done? What has he done since he became president on January 21st of 2016? He has been standing for the Christian church. He has been standing against abortion and standing for saving the lives of unborn babies. And just check it off all the way down the list. Donald Trump has removed America from dozens of New World Order groups and associations. And that is why he is hated. Estevic says that he took us out of the United Nations Small Arms Treaty. And there's dozens of things that Donald Trump removed America from. And when he did that, he became the enemy of the New World Order globalists who had already decided years in advance to release the COVID virus, to release it from China, and to put it on the entire world, but especially America. Because the idea is you've got to get rid of America in order to bring in the New World Order. Because America is the world's richest country. It's the world's most influential country. The entire world financial system is figured around the American dollar. Everything about America, we are the world's last superpower. And we are the last thing that is standing in the way of the New World Order coming in. So, 9 or 10 months ago, when Joe Biden's campaign slogan, which used to be, if you remember, No malarkey. And when he started his ridiculous campaign, it was called the Joe Biden 2020 No Malarkey Tour. You can look it up if you don't believe me, but that's the truth, and that's how he started. And then somewhere along the way, when they realized, when the Democrats realized that Joe Biden, as old and doddering as he is, was the perfect Trojan horse to put Kamala Harris in as president. Do you remember back in October when Nancy Pelosi formed her committee on the 25th Amendment, and everybody thought that she was doing it to get rid of Donald Trump, but that wasn't true, because forming that committee in the end of October would not do anything to get rid of Donald Trump before the election, which was only a few weeks later. No, no, no. Nancy Pelosi created her 25th Amendment Commission. Now, if you know what the 25th Amendment is, it's the amendment that says when a president is no longer able to discharge their duty, that it is the obligation of the Congress to remove the president and to install the vice president, should that person be capable, as the president. And that's what the 25th Amendment is. And in the middle of October, it was the beginning of October, around October 8th or October 9th, Nancy Pelosi created this commission to make sure that if we had a president that was incapable of carrying out their duties, or if they were deemed to be incapable, then that president would be removed. Now, obviously, Nancy Pelosi did not create this commission to remove Donald Trump, because Donald Trump was almost at the end of his 4 years when she created it. No, Nancy Pelosi created this 25th Amendment Commission to get rid of Joe Biden. And that's exactly what they're going to do. Now, Joe Biden, literally, he has half of a mind left. He has dementia. There's no question about it. I know people with that condition, and he acts exactly like them. He's the exact age that people who are afflicted by that, that's exactly what you would expect to see. And his outbursts of anger and his ridiculous laughter, that is very, I mean, he laughs at things when there's nothing funny. And that's what you do when your mind is not functioning properly. Either you're a serial killer or you have dementia. But that's what that does to your thinking. That's what that does to your brain. And that's what has happened to Joe Biden. But that is exactly why they wanted Joe Biden, and why he didn't have to campaign, why he rarely left his basement, because he knew that the fix was in. He knows that he is incapable of carrying out 4 years, 3 years, 2 years, or even the first year. Joe Biden is well aware of his own condition. But because for 47 years he has dreamed about nothing but the presidency, Joe Biden made a deal with the devil, and he is being used by the Democratic Party so that when he dies, on his tombstone, it will say Joe Biden, traitor, 46th president of the United States. And that's what he has agreed to do in exchange for that. But Kamala Harris will become the president faster than you can ever blink your eyes if she gets in, if he gets in. So now I want to play this clip for you. Sidney Powell talking about the information that she has and how it's absolutely going to change everything. You listen to this clip and you tell me if she's going to be alive by the end of the week, if she really can do what she says that she's going to do. Take a listen. Sidney Powell.
So she has enough evidence of fraud to launch a massive criminal investigation. Cindy, thanks very much for being here. We appreciate your time this morning. I want to get right into it. We just heard about the software made by Smartmatic from Rudy. And I want to get your take on what you report, what you and I spoke about just a few minutes ago. And that is a gentleman named Peter Neffinger. Tell me how he fits into all of this.
Yes, well, he is listed as its former Admiral Peter Neffinger, or retired Admiral Peter Neffinger. He is president and on the board of directors of Smartmatic. And it just so happens he's on Mr. Biden's presidential transition team that's going to be non-existent because we're fixing to overturn the results of the election in multiple states. And President Trump won by not just hundreds of thousands of votes, but by millions of votes that were shifted by this software that was designed expressly for that purpose. We have sworn witness testimony of why the software was designed. It was designed to rig elections. He was fully briefed on it. He saw it happen in other countries. It was exported internationally for profit by the people that are behind Smartmatic and Dominion. They did this on purpose. It was calculated. They've done it before. We have evidence from 2016 in California. We have so much evidence, I feel like it's coming in through a fire hose.
Wow. So, Sydney, you feel that you will be able to prove this. Do you have the software in your possession? Do you have the hardware in your possession? How will you prove this, Sydney?
Well, I've got lots of ways to prove it, Maria, but I'm not going to tell on national TV what all we have. I just can't do that.
So there you have Sidney Powell speaking with Maria Bartiromo on Fox News. And this was just a couple of days ago. And you heard her say that they have proof that Donald Trump not only won by thousands of votes, but by a couple of million votes, and she can prove it. So we have to draw a couple conclusions here. Either she's insane and she is just talking off the top of her head. Either she's trying to make a name for herself, and she's saying something that's going to get her attention, or she actually has the proof. She can prove it and she's about to do it. There's really no other way to look at it. It has to be one of those three scenarios. Now, she's been around a long time. She's very well respected in her field, and she has never in her entire career seemed like the type of person who was hungry for fame or attention or just trying to build a name for herself. No, it sounds like she actually has real proof and she's getting ready to release it. Now, you will know if she has real proof because she'll be involved in a near-fatal car accident very shortly. Something strange will happen. Do you remember a couple of years ago when Sean Hannity said that he had finally had found the proof to prove that Seth Rich was killed by people in the DNC to stop him from telling what he knew. And he scheduled this program and he said that he was getting ready to release the information and he was going to do all this stuff. And what happened? Next thing that you know, this was back in May of 2017. He announces this program and he says he's going to blow the lid off the corruption in the DNC. He's going to prove that Seth Rich was murdered for his silence. And before the program could air, he does this ridiculous apology, something about he decided to not air the show because he wanted to be respectful to the family of Seth Rich. And the show never happened. And that was when I stopped listening to Sean Hannity. He was compromised. Hannity still has some decent stuff. He still tells the truth most of the time. But May 24th of 2017 is when I stopped listening to Sean Hannity because he was silenced, and he is not to be trusted after that. Speaking of that, I'm wondering how long that Tucker Carlson is going to be able to operate, because I don't have a recent clip from him. I couldn't find one before the show today. But man, oh man, Tucker Carlson has been saying a lot of truth. And all year long on this podcast, we have played probably over an hour's worth of clips from Tucker. And I really don't know how much longer he's going to be able to keep operating as Fox News continues its quest to become the new MSNBC. Fox News is terrible, absolutely terrible. If you watch Fox News, please turn them off. Please stop watching, stop listening, stop supporting. And speaking of that, speaking of support, of not supporting the deep state and Fox News, did you know that when you have these cable TV packages that so much of what is bundled, have you ever noticed, like if you have Comcast, that your bill seems to creep up every single month, and it's always like they're adding these new fees, and you know, it's $5 here and $8 there and $20 there. Have you ever noticed if you have DirecTV or Comcast or Sinclair or whatever the cable packages are, you need to stop. If you have cable TV, you need to cut it. You need to stop it. In 2020 and 2021, nobody needs cable in your house, because all these groups that you say that you don't like CNN and MSNBC and all these people, where do you think they get the bulk of their funding from? They get it from the hidden fees in your cable bill. Now, I got rid of cable TV 3 years ago. I have an internet connection and I have a smart flat screen TV. I have never not been able to watch any breaking news that I wanted to watch, because everybody streams whatever the event is on places like YouTube and Hulu and Amazon. You do not need cable television. It is an unnecessary expense, but even if you can afford it, even if you're happy with wasting that much money every month, are you still willing to pay for your monthly cable bill knowing that all these fake news media outlets receive money from the hidden fees in your monthly cable bill? Now, John is asking, what about Roku? Roku is an excellent way to get rid of your cable. It's a box that plugs into your TV, and in that box, you can watch anything that you want to watch. Now, I'll take that one step further, and I'll show you a way that you don't even need the Roku. All you have to do is get yourself a smart TV. Now, don't raise your eyes and don't talk about the mark of the beast. If you have a mobile phone, that's all the mark of the beast that you're ever going to need, okay? So don't give me any nonsense about not having a smart TV in your house, because your mobile phone is a smart TV in your pocket. If you really feel that convicted, then get rid of your mobile phone too, because that's what your mobile phone actually is. But you get yourself a smart TV and you hook it up to a good internet connection. Here in Florida, we have AT&T Fiber, and all it is a super fast internet connection. For $70 per month, and that was a whole lot less than what my cable bill used to be, for $70 a month, I get a 1 gigabyte transfer download in my AT&T fiber connection. And that is more than enough firepower for everybody in your house to watch anything that they want to watch in perfect high fidelity clarity. So you get yourself a smart TV, you get yourself a high-speed connection, they're very cheap now, and you plug the two into each other, and you get rid of your cable bill. Now, that is something that you can do that will greatly hurt them in the pocketbook. I'm not talking about the New World Order. I'm talking about people like CNN and MSNBC. Where do you think they get their money from? Have you ever watched their ratings? MSNBC and CNN are on the bottom of the pile all day, every time. So where do they get this money from that they can give hacks like Rachel Maddow and Jake Tapper millions and millions of dollars to get on TV and spout their nonsense? Because they get that money from the hidden fees that are packed inside your monthly cable bill. So that's something that you should think about, and that's something that you should really do. You should really get rid of your cable system, because it's bad. I got rid of mine 3 years ago, and I was very, very happy about that. We have to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to tie a bow on this thing. Don't go anywhere. Stay with us.
In the dark of the midnight, have I opened my face? While the storms howl above me, and there's no hiding place, near the crash of the thunder, precious Lord, hear my cry, keep me safe till the storm passes by. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds roll forever from the sky. How many times Satan whispered, there is no use to try, for there's no end of sorrow, there's no hope by and by. But I know thou art with me, and tomorrow I'll rise where the storms never darken the skies. Till the storm passes over, till the thunder sounds no more, till the clouds
put our trust and faith in Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end, and he's coming back in power, majesty, and great glory. That's what we're waiting for around here. We're waiting for Flight 777 on Titus 213 Airlines. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. But while we wait, we have to deal with something called the Great Reset. If you're just tuning in, we're talking today about a variety of topics. We're talking about something called the Great Reset, which is trending massively on Twitter as we speak right now. The Fourth Industrial Revolution of the World Economic Forum. We're talking about these events that are all taking place simultaneously. You know how on the 4th of July, when you go to watch the fireworks, and it starts out kind of slow, and then it gets kind of steady, and then when you get to what they call the grand finale, that's when they fire everything off all at the same time, and it really gets intense, and it gets very crazy, and everybody applauds, and blah, blah, blah. That's what we're experiencing right now. The New World Order has decided that 2020 is the year because of COVID. Now, COVID is a real virus. And does it really matter if COVID comes from nature or COVID comes from a test tube in some sort of secret laboratory and was released on purpose? Does it really make any difference to you? It doesn't make any difference to me. I don't doubt that COVID is a real virus. My son had COVID. He didn't get the symptoms, but I did. We had a funeral in my church just last week for one of our church members who got COVID, wound up in the ICU, and then died from it. We have dozens and dozens and dozens of people here at Now the End Begins in our church family who have loved ones who have had it themselves. I have no doubt that the COVID virus is a real virus. But I also have no doubt that it has been hijacked and weaponized as the Trojan horse to bring in the New World Order. And as we said in the first hour, the last remaining piece of the puzzle is America has to be taken down. America has to be gotten rid of. If you don't do that, you cannot get rid of the New World Order. So I want to direct your attention to the World Economic Forum website. And if you went to, it's called weforum.org, and I'm going to put the link into the chat room. But they have a section of their website called /Great Reset. And this is what they say at the World Economic Forum. There is an urgent need for global stakeholders to cooperate in simultaneously managing the direct consequences of the COVID-19 crisis. To improve the state of the World Economic Forum is starting the Great Reset Initiative. So, if you want to understand what is this Great Reset that everyone is talking about, it comes from the World Economic Forum, it comes from the United Nations, and it has to do with how the world has been changed from the COVID virus, which we call the COVID-1984 virus, because that's exactly what it is being used for. And on the World Economic Forum website, this is what they say is the context of the Great Reset. The COVID-19 crisis and the political, economic, and social disruptions it has caused is fundamentally changing the traditional context for decision-making. The inconsistencies, inadequacies, and contradictions of multiple systems, from health and financial to energy and education, are more exposed than ever amidst a global context of concern for lives, livelihoods, and the planet. All dictators promise you multiple things, and this has been true for the last hundreds of years. All dictators are concerned with the poor, yet they live in mansions and they're fabulously wealthy. All dictators are concerned for the working man. And all dictators are concerned about the state of the planet. Now, is it good to be concerned for the poor? Absolutely. But what did Jesus Christ say about the poor? He said, hey, the poor you have with you always, me you have not always. That's what Jesus Christ says about the poor. And was Jesus being cold when he said that? No, he was being realistic. He was saying, hey, you got to put your attention where it needs to be. Help the poor where you can help them. But there's higher priorities in this life. But yet all dictators and all tyrannical systems, they starred Adolf Hitler. He appealed to the ego of the German people who were living in the time of the Great Depression, and he blamed that on the communists and the Jewish people. And Adolf Hitler's first pitch to the German people had to do with the poor, with the working man, and with the planet. And that's exactly what the World Economic Forum is concerned with. That's exactly what all dictators are concerned with. Why? Because those are the easy hot buttons. What did Lenin say? That in order to have revolution, you need useful idiots. I'm not calling you an idiot. I am simply saying that in every single revolution, it has been funded by the nameless, faceless, working people who don't stand up to tyranny. And this is what happens. Before Cuba became a communist country, they were prosperous. It was a tourist spot. It was beautiful. People flocked to Cuba from all over the world. And then socialism, fascism, communism, Marxism, whatever you want to call it. To me, it's all the same crap. And then Cuba was taken over in the Cuban Revolution. And what was the slogan of the Cuban Revolution? For the people, right? For the working man. And Fidel Castro would wear those army fatigues and his little beret, and he would smoke that Cuban cigar, and he would look for all the world like he was just a regular Joe, except for the fact that he lived in a fancy castle. He was fabulously wealthy. He, while his fellow Cubans starved to death, literally, he fared sumptuously every day, like the rich man from Luke 16. That is the truth about Fidel Castro. And I know people, I know Cuban people who risked their lives to get out of that hellhole. And they're the ones who told me how bad that it really was. He was a murderer. He was a filthy, rotten, disgusting murderer on a smaller scale, but just like Mussolini, Adolf Hitler, Genghis Khan, Stalin, Lenin, all of those people, they're all murderers, and they all start exactly the same way. They want you to be concerned about the poor and the working man and the planet. And that's where they start, and that is where, if you go to the World Economic Forum, their website, and look up the Great Reset, those are the three things that they're concerned about. What do the democratic socialists here in America talk about constantly? The poor, the working man, and the Green New Deal. Bernie Sanders, he just wants to give everybody health care. Now, would that be a bad thing for everybody to have health care that they didn't have to pay for? On one hand, that would be pretty good, because everybody in America would finally have health care. And there's a lot of sick people in America. So to give everybody health care, on one hand, is a pretty good thing. The bad part about Medicare for all, about a single-payer system, the bad part is it's no longer competitive. You no longer choose what type of health care that you can have. The government now tells you what type of health care that you'll have. And when that model is fully mature, the government tells you when they're going to stop services if your medical condition looks like it's going to be terminal. They'll just shut you off. And that is the price that you pay for having free health care. It's good in the beginning, just like Nazi Germany. When Adolf Hitler first came to power, the average German people, and again, I know people who lived under Adolf Hitler as teenagers in Nazi Germany. I dated a girl in high school whose parents were part of the Hitler Youth in World War II. And I listened to their stories and I remember their stories. The average German person thought that Adolf Hitler was the greatest leader to ever arise. Why? Because their lives got better. There was food on the table. There was a roof over their head. They had clothes to wear. They were employed. They got jobs. He put people back to work. And all of those things are good things. Except for when the bill comes due. It's kind of like you watch those movies and somebody goes out to a restaurant and they order like all this food and all this drinks and the bill comes and the bill is $1,500 and they can't pay. Well, they had a great time eating it, but now the bill has come due and now they have to face the police because they have basically stolen that food. And now there is a price to pay for all that free food. And that's exactly what people like Bernie Sanders and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and the Democratic Party and all these people, when they say we're going to give you free health care, they mean nothing of the kind. They mean that we're going to get you off of an individual competitive health care system. And we're going to get you onto the system that we control from top to bottom because we pay for it. How many of you remember when you were a teenager and you didn't like something that was happening in your house when you were growing up? I don't know how it was handled where you were raised, but where I was raised, my dad would listen. He wouldn't say a word, and when I was done talking, he would just tap the table with his big, thick index finger, and he would say, "Look at me, sonny boy. My house, my rules." And then the conversation would be over. And that's what you get when your dad is a World War II veteran. My house, my rules. And that's the way it was. So I want you to apply that to Medicare for All. I want you to apply that to the claims of people like the Democratic Socialists and the Democratic Party and Kamala Harris and Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders and all these people who are promising you free college, free health care, free this. It's not free. It comes with a price tag. And that price tag is you lose your freedom. And that is exactly what's at stake with the Great Reset. And God hasn't voted yet. I don't believe he has. I don't have a peace in my spirit that this thing is settled. And hey, me having a peace in my spirit, what does that mean to you? Nothing. But what is? I'm not a prophet. I'm not a psychic. But I know that when I pray about something for me personally, as a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, I know when God is answering me. I know when he has said yes. I know when he has said no. I knew it to such a degree that in early 2016, I wrote two articles telling you that Donald Trump was going to win in a landslide. And how did I know that? Because I prayed about it and I had peace in my spirit. And to me, the matter was settled. And it was settled to such a degree that I wrote about it. Kind of went out on a limb a little bit, but I wrote about it and it turned out to be absolutely true. Gabby just said it's not over yet, and it's not over yet. So we're talking about some depressing things today. Let's talk about a little ray of sunshine. God hasn't voted yet. Joe Biden is not the president of the United States, elect or otherwise. Kamala Harris is not the vice president of the United States, elect or otherwise. I saw on the Twitter feed of the Democratic Party, just before this show aired, they said, hey, 65 days till Joe Biden is president. That is 5 days past 2 months. Anything can happen over the next 65 days. Anything can happen. And I am telling you, I don't know the future. I'm not going to go out on a limb with something that God hasn't given me. I'm not going to make up something just to sound good. I'm not a charismatic. But in my spirit, it is not done. It is not over. It is not settled. And maybe you feel, when you pray about that, maybe you feel the same way. Estevic just says the media does not choose our president. That's exactly right, but boy, oh boy, they're trying to do that. They're trying very, very hard to do that. And they're trying to just rig the whole thing in terms of public perception so that you look at this onslaught, NPR, CNN, Fox News, ABC, NBC, CBS, and every media outlet, Twitter, Facebook, they're all declaring that Joe Biden has won. Joe Biden has won. Joe Biden has not won. The events are not certified. So the ray of hope that we have here is that it could go any way at all. God hasn't voted. So don't lose hope. Stay with the program. And let's wait for God to do something. Let's wait for him to vote, because as far as I'm concerned, that has not happened. Now, Milton in the chat room is asking, what happens if Kamala Harris dies? Who would take over? That would be the Speaker of the House in Congress. That would be Nancy Pelosi. And that's the chain of command that we have in our government. That's how it goes, and that's why Nancy Pelosi is trying her absolute very best to hang on to this power, because she wants to be in position to be president if something goes down. And believe me when I tell you that something, if Joe Biden gets in, lots of stuff is going to be going down. So back to the World Economic Forum website. I gave you the context of the Great Reset. It all has to do with the political, economic, and social disruptions caused by the COVID-19 crisis. Then they have a section called The Opportunity. As we enter a unique window of opportunity to shape the recovery, this initiative, they say, which they call it, the Global Reset, will offer insights to help inform all those determining the future state of global relations, the direction of national economies, the priorities of societies, the nature of business models, and the management of a global commons. Drawing from the vision and vast expertise of the leaders engaged across the forum's communities, the Great Reset Initiative has a set of dimensions to build a new social contract that honors the dignity of every human being. And of course, it's not going to honor the dignity of anybody. Again, all dictators are concerned with three things. They're concerned with the poor, they're concerned with the working man, and they're concerned with the planet. And they're not really concerned with any of those three things, but those are the red herrings that they throw up to get you to believe that they have your best interests at heart, and they have nothing of the kind. The Bible says that the thief cometh not, but to seek, to kill, and destroy. And that's the only reason why he shows up, because he is not. If you remember that movie, It's a Wonderful Life, and remember when the Great Depression hit, and the markets crashed, and everybody was losing their house, and they went to George Bailey at the Bailey Savings and Loan, and they were so concerned about their shares, and then that guy walks through, and he says, hey, Potter's giving 50 cents on the dollar, George Bailey stands up and he says, Potter's not selling, Potter's buying. And that's exactly what this Great Reset is. This isn't something that they're giving us. This isn't help that they're throwing towards us. What the Great Reset is they are taking. That's what they're doing. They're not selling anything. They're buying. And what they're buying is you. And they need the United States to fall in order to bring that to pass. You cannot have the New World Order with a Donald Trump presidency. You cannot have the New World Order if America is standing for capitalism and the consumer and the Bill of Rights and the U.S. Constitution and all of those different things. You cannot have the New World Order under those situations. Franklin Delano Roosevelt, back in the 1930s, he passed this massive waves of social reforms. And that was the first blow. And then LBJ in 1968 with his Great Society, he passed the second wave, and we became a welfare indebted nation. And when people who live in the inner cities found out that the United States government was going to pay them to have a baby, that's where you see the single mother unwed pregnancy rate goes from 20% to 75% of what it is today, because people are using that as a business. And that's why you see so many women in the inner cities of all different races. They have so many children, and there's multiple dads or there's no dads, because they get money from the United States government to do that. Now, what they're promising in 2020 is going to combine all that has previously come before, and it's going to take it up to the stratosphere. And they are promising everybody absolutely everything. Joe Biden was talking with a woman who says that her 8-year-old son was having trouble with his transgender transition. And Joe Biden, he hit the table and he said that he was on his first day in office, he was going to pass an executive order which is going to protect children who want to become transgender, promising everybody everything. And that's what they're going to do. And they're going to buy you. They're bribing you. They are giving you anything that you want, as long as it's not fair, as long as it's not right. As long as it's some wacky, offbeat thing. Did you ever think that we would live so long in this country that becoming a transgender, which 20 years ago, 10 years ago, was classified, and rightly so, as a mental illness, okay? I've told the story before that when I was working after college, I worked in this catering company in my hometown, and we had a guy who would come in and he had some mental problems. His name was Roger, and he would come in and he would be wearing a dress and he would have makeup on and you know, people let him be. Nobody bothered him, but at the same time, nobody thought that what he was doing was normal. Everybody rightly understood that the reason why a man was wearing makeup and was wearing a woman's wig and why he was wearing women's clothing was because he had mental illness. But that's not the way it is in 2020. Have you seen this? And this might come as a shock, or you might say, no surprise at all. How many of you like to listen to the singer Harry Styles? He's very popular. He's a very good singer. He has a great voice. He's also, in December, going to be on the cover of Vogue magazine in women's clothing, because he just feels so free and liberated when he puts on women's clothing. I'm not making this up. If you're not in the chat room, why don't you Google it? Why don't you just Google Vogue Harry Styles and it's going to come right up. And there is a trend that's happening in 2020 for men to wear women's clothing. Now, again, this is not freedom. This is not expanding your mind. This is demonic mental illness. Now, a lot of the times people say to me, well, that's a very harsh thing to say, brother. Why do you talk like that? What would you do if your child was transgender? I would tell my child the same exact thing that I'm telling you right now. It's a mental illness. And worse than that, it is a spiritual sickness. Because when we read the Bible, we see that the church of the end times is going to have prostitution, it's going to have cannibalism, and maybe this might be something good to talk about on our Wednesday night Bible study, what the worship service of the end times is going to look like. It's going to be idol worship, it's going to be hedonism, it's going to have cannibalism, and it's going to have sexual activity as part of the church worship service. And I'm not making up any of this. This is all part of the Bible. So the comforting thing that we see is that when these things are happening, we know exactly where we are on the end times timeline. We are just about at the very end. And from that perspective, what we're talking about is a comforting thing, because the world that we're going to leave behind when we leave on flight 777 in the pre-tribulation rapture, the world that we're going to leave behind is the world that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are promising everyone. The world that the World Economic Forum and the Fourth Industrial Revolution and the Great Reset and all of those people, this is the world that we are going to leave behind, because that's the world that the Bible says will be in place when we go. Either you believe the Bible or you don't. But here at Now the End Begins, we believe the Bible and we're not ashamed of it. We don't shrink from the fight. We go into the burning building and we are unashamed to stand for Jesus Christ in a day and age where standing for Jesus Christ can get you fired. You can lose friends. Many times I'll meet somebody and we'll get together for coffee and everything is clicking and everything is good. And then that person who I'm expressing an interest in, they Google me and they find out how I'm connected to Now the End Begins, and I never hear from them ever again. Because Jesus says, think not that I have come to bring peace. Nay, I have come to bring a sword. That's what Jesus Christ came to bring. And if you stand for him, that sword's going to cut you, and you're going to lose friends, you're going to lose family, you're going to lose relationships, but that's exactly what the Bible said would happen. Now, we only have about 5 minutes left, so I want to talk about something that happened Saturday in Washington, D.C., and it's scary, it's disturbing, and it's real. Donald Trump's supporters held a massive MAGA march in Washington, D.C. on Saturday. And for about 4 hours, anywhere from a couple hundred thousand to just under 1 million people marched through downtown Washington. And they all had flags and banners which said, you know, Trump 2020 and Make America Great Again. It was men, women, children, young people, old people, black, white, Asian, Hispanic. It was a real melting pot of people. There was no damage. Nothing caught on fire. Not a single window was broken. Nobody's cars were dented. Nobody was threatened. It was an extremely peaceful march with a massive amount of people. And then when the march was over and people started dispersing, that's when Antifa and Black Lives Matter, cowards that they are, pathetic, miserable, sniveling cowards. And if you're a member of Antifa or Black Lives Matter, I'm talking to you directly. You are cowards. You are absolute cowards. And what did they do? They began to find women and parents and children, and they began to throw things at them and call them names and attack them. people at a sidewalk cafe trying to have a meal, trying to drink a cup of coffee. And I have videos of them, they're firing fireworks at these elderly people trying to have a cup of coffee. And it's absolutely terrible. But then it got worse. And it pains me to say this because I am very pro-police. I am very pro-law enforcement. I believe in defending the police and backing the blue. Absolutely. That's how I was raised, and that's how I feel, and that's how I think. However, the Washington police, and you'll remember that we've told you this, the police in every city, in every state in America, are controlled by the mayors of those cities. The mayor can get on the phone and tell the chief of police what to do, and the chief of police is obligated to give those orders. And when they tell the cops to do something, they have to do it. And in these cities like Washington, D.C., that is under the control of a far left liberal socialist mayor, this is what they told the police to do on Saturday. The police were, it looked like that they were helping to guide the Trump supporters away from the trouble. But what they actually did, and I saw multiple videos showing this, so this is not some sort of an internet statement that I'm making. What the police did is they roped off whole sections of streets, and they directed the Trump supporters, this is how you've got to leave this area. And at the end of the streets, Black Lives Matter and Antifa were waiting for these people, and they attacked them, and the police stood by, and they watched it, and they did nothing about it. Now, we have 2 minutes left. I want you to think about that. If Joe Biden wins, they're going to come for you. You can scrub your social media. You can get rid of all that stuff, but you don't get rid of anything. Have you ever heard of something called the Wayback Machine, the Internet Archive? It's all archived, and it's all available to the public. There's no way that you can, if you've posted it and you've been online for a while, that stuff will never, ever go away. Now, this is what you're going to have if Joe Biden becomes president, if Kamala Harris becomes president. What the Washington, D.C. police did to those Trump supporters on Saturday, purposely directed them into a confrontation with Black Lives Matter and Antifa, and then stood by and did nothing when these people were attacked. That's what you're going to have in your town, in your city, in your state, if those people get in power. And this is where we are. This is the Great Reset. This is what's being pushed right here, right now. The only question is how far is it going to go? If the rapture really is right around the corner, then it's highly likely that Joe Biden will be confirmed as president, and all this stuff that I'm telling you is going to come to pass while we watch. And that is the condition under which we will be removed in the rapture. It's going to be like a helicopter taking victims out from a burning building from the rooftop, and the flames are melting their shoelaces as the helicopter takes them up and away to safety. That is the condition under which you and I will get out of here. Don't think it's all just going to be peaceful and easy, because it's not. We are in a state of war right here, right now. The civil war that we told you was coming for the last 10 years, it's here. And now you know what the Great Reset is. Now you know what the Fourth Industrial Revolution is. Now you know what all these things are. And now you know how limited your time is and what you need to do to get something done for the Lord while you still can. Joe Biden, if he wins, is not going to be president for another 65 days. Think of how much you can get done for the Lord Jesus Christ in 2 months. you can get a lot done. Thank you so much for tuning in today. We've come to the end of our time. I want you to have a good week. Be a bold witness for Jesus Christ. Don't shrink from the fight, but run into the fight. That's what we're called to do. Lord willing, we'll see you back here Wednesday night for another edition of our Rightly Dividing Wednesday Night Bible Study. Have a great week, everybody.